It's good to be here this evening. I got the chance to speak up in White Rock this morning. That was great to be with the brethren up there. It's kind of funny, we got locked out this morning of our building, so we had to go to Marietta's house. But nonetheless, the word was preached, and that was a good thing. Thank you, John, for that reading. I appreciate it, bud. Tonight, I'd like to talk a little bit about influence. This is something that I've been thinking about for a while, just kicking it around in my head, just thinking about the power of influence that each and every one of us have. You see, whether you believe it or not, everyone that can hear me and understand what I'm saying right now, you, yes, I'm talking to each of you, you have an influence on someone. I guarantee it. I guarantee it. So I want to talk a little bit about that tonight and just make some applications to what the Scriptures have to say about influence. So let's first define it here so we can get a clear understanding. The definition that Wikipedia gave was the moral or spiritual force, the power or capacity by which we have an effect upon a person, a condition, or a development. I'm sure a lot of us here can understand, and we already know what influence is and the power of influence, but it's definitely a good reminder. It's definitely something good for us to think about. In the Scripture reading John just read, I believe Jesus talked about that influence. While he didn't directly say we need to be a good influence in this world, I don't know where Jesus said that in the Bible, but I do know some of the ways he said that. We'll talk about that. So like I said, influence is something that affects each and every one of us. There again, if you can hear me and understand me right now, you have the power to influence someone and you have the ability to be affected by someone, to be influenced. You can be the influencer and the influencee. We all have that capability and power. Whether at school, at work, at the golf course, it doesn't matter where you are in this world, you have that power and you have that ability. It's so important for us to recognize. The idea that we all possess influence, like I just said, to be the influencer for good or for worse, and to be influenced for better or for worse. And to anyone that says, Tanner, I understand it, and a lot of people in this world can influence, but me, no one looks at me and thinks, that they know what they're talking about. They're a good influence. For someone to say, yeah, they're doing it, but I don't have that power. I disagree wholeheartedly. By not being a good example, you are having an influence on someone, aren't you? You are. And our influence is something we always need to guard and protect. It's something we always need to be cognizant of and aware of. So let's go back to what John just read in Matthew chapter 5 and put some scripture to this. So there again, like I said, while Jesus in no way said we as Christians need to be the influence, we need to influence people in this world, why he didn't say that directly, I believe the application is here. So let's read this again. So Jesus said, You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You see, in my opinion, I believe that we can substitute the word salt for influence here. You see, salt is something, we think of salt, it flavors food. It adds a little something, doesn't it? Well, just as salt flavors our food, that those grain of salt, just as they do something, they enhance the food that we eat, we ought to enhance this world. Should we not? Isn't that the application that Jesus is talking about here? Jesus said that bland salt, worthless salt, it's useless. Well, similarly, we ought to be the salt of this earth. And if we aren't being a good influence, if we aren't being that the flavor that the world needs in the way that God designed it, we're useless. Amen. And that's not me saying it. That's God saying it. That's Jesus saying it. That's what Jesus is saying here. And then let's keep reading verse 14. So we make the application of salt. Let's keep reading verse 14. You are the light of the world. So we're the salt of the earth. We're the light of the world also. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. The same idea here. The same principle. We're the salt of the earth. We're the light of the world. Right? If we're not being good examples, if we're not being good influences to the world, if we're not letting our light shine like we learned about in in grade school, learning that song, "This Little Light of Mine, I'm going to Let It Shine." We're not going to hide it, but we're going to be a good example. We're going to be a good influence on the world around us. I believe that that application can be made here. Let's flip back, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 5, too. So like we just read in Matthew, the example Jesus gave about how we ought to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world, Paul kind of touches on this, how we ought to be the light. In Ephesians chapter 5, starting in verse 8, he talks a little bit about walking in light and what that means for us as Christians. So let's read that. "For you once were in darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." The same call that Jesus made to us in Matthew chapter 5. "For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Be a good influence. Walk in light. For it is even," verse 12, "For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light, for whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore he says, 'Awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light.'" See, that's ultimately all of us here are influenced to some degree by Christ. And we need to be that influence to the rest of the world because they need it. How else is the word going to be preached? And how else are people in the world going to receive good examples? Because they're not going to get it from the world. They have to get it from us. It's something I've touched on in, I don't know if every lesson, but the duty that we have as Christians, I think honestly sometimes we can underestimate it. I think we can. And we ought not to. Right? We ought not to. Something I've already talked about, that the idea that we can all provide a positive influence. So let's look at the example in the relationship between parents and children just for a second. Fathers, every father out here, I'm talking to you. We're called as fathers. You are called to lead by example, to be a good influence on your household and on your children. Let's go to Ephesians, flip a few pages if you have to Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4. It says, "And you fathers," Paul writes, "and you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bringing them up in the training and admonition of the Lord." A great responsibility is put upon fathers there. Leading by a good example. Being a good example. Because how else are the kids, your children, how are they going to be brought up if you're not doing it the correct way? Go back, if you would, also to Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 6. It's the same kind of call here. Proverbs 22 and verse 6. And it says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." The same idea here. Mothers, every mother out here, you're told to be a good role model for your children, to your household as well, but to children, to everyone else here. Let's look at Titus, T-I-T-U-S, chapter 2, verses 3 and 5. Titus chapter 2, verses 3, I'm sorry, chapter 2, verses 3 and 5. It says, "The older women, likewise, that they be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, being a good example. That they should admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed." Right? The idea here, children, every child here, and we all are children here, aren't we, to some degree. We're told to be obedient to our parents in all things. We're told to be obedient. We need to respect them, even if they're not doing what's right. We need to respect them. But the call to obedience here is important. Let's go back to Ephesians chapter 6, in verses 1 through 3. "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment, with promise, that it may be well with you, and that you may live long." And that you may live long on the earth. Right? Each and every one of us here, fathers, mothers, children, no matter who you are, there's a great responsibility put upon each and every one of us to be a good influence to our families, to our siblings, to our parents. Just because the parent is older and created you does not mean you can't influence them and be a good influence to them. What about the relationships we have at work? Wherever you work. The ability, the chance to be a good influence and to influence someone. What's the definition of influence again? The moral or spiritual force, the power or capacity by which we have an effect on a person or their condition. The ability to have an effect on someone positively or negatively. We have it everywhere we go. At work, the relationships we have, Christian to Christian, each of us in here. Let's look at 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 12. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 12, it reads, "Let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity." Now, these are some of the things that we're called to do. Be a good example to those here, to everyone we come into contact with, to other people in the world. We read in Matthew chapter 5 that we're the salt. We ought to be the salt of the earth, the light of this world, because the world needs it. They really do. They really do. Let's put some more verses, some more Bible application to this. Let's look at some examples in the Bible that we have of poor influences. I know probably a lot of us can think of some off the top of our head, and these are just a few of them that I came up with. But let's go back to 1 Kings, if you would. We see here Solomon and how he was influenced. Though he was the wisest man in the world, let's see how he was influenced. Let's start reading in verse 1. 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 1. It says, "But Solomon loved many foreign women, as well as the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Sidonians, and the Hittites, from the nations of whom the Lord had said to the children of Israel, 'You shall not intermarry with them, nor they with you. Surely they will turn away your hearts after their gods.' Solomon clung to these in love." Verse 3, "And he had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart." They had an influence on him, for worse, here, in this case, but Solomon didn't listen to what the Lord God had commanded. And as a result, he was influenced, for the worse. Verse 4, "For it was so, when Solomon was old, that his wives turned his heart after other gods, and his heart was not loyal to the Lord, his God, as was the heart of his father David." One thing, just throwing it out here. Did God not say, did the Lord not say in verse 2, "You shall not intermarry with them, because they're going to be a bad influence to you"? And what happened? Solomon didn't listen. And what happened? The Lord's words prevailed. They always will, they always do. They always will and they always do. Flip a few chapters, if you would, also to chapter 21. Chapter 21 and verse 25. And let's see who was influenced here. Ahab was, wasn't he? "But there is no one like Ahab who sold himself to do wickedness in the sight of the Lord." Because why? Because Jezebel, his wife, stirred him up. She had a poor influence on him, didn't she? And among others as well. Just a few examples here of poor influences. They do exist. And you and I can be one of them. We can. Let's look at the Pharisees. An example in the influence that they had on people. Matthew chapter 23. And verse 13. Verse 13. And Jesus here was speaking to the multitudes and his disciples. He says, "But woe to you, destruction to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men." You're having a bad influence. You're being bad examples to them. "For you neither go in yourselves, nor do you allow those who are entering to go in." He says you're not being a good example to them. You're influencing them for the worse. These men that Jesus is referring to, false doctrines. Same idea here. False doctrines are a poor influence and a poor example for us and for the rest of the world. But how is the rest of the world going to know that it's a poor influence if we don't let them know, if we don't catch it, if we don't see it, if we don't hold fast to the pattern of sound doctrine, sound words that's clearly laid out in front of us? What about bad company? Bad company. That title, bad company, that's kind of all-inclusive in this world. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 talks about this idea. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 33, it says, "Do not be deceived." Listen closely to this. You know, that's do not be deceived, brethren. Evil company corrupts good habits. Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. That is truth. That is truth. Let's make some application now. Again, this is a really short list, and you could pick so many examples of poor influences and poor examples in this Bible. But let's make some application to you. Let's make this personal. I'm asking each and every one of you, think of someone right now, if you can, think of someone that's a poor influence on you. For whatever reason that is. However they influence you negatively, think about that person. My best advice to you, whoever that is, remove them. If they're not going to help you get to heaven and be the Christian that you need to be, remove them from your life. Let's look now at something a little happier. Let's look at some examples of good influences in the Bible. There again, this list is not exhaustive. You can add to it. You can add to it so many people. These are just some people and examples that I came up with. But first and foremost, I'm pretty sure I've said this before. I think Paul, in my opinion, I love the character of Paul, and I love his story and just everything that goes along with it. But let's look at the example he was and how he influenced people. We got a lot of verses about him. Let's start in Acts 28. Let's start reading in verse 30. Acts 28. Starting verse 30. "Then Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own rented house," this is in Rome, "and received all who came to him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching the things which concern the Lord Jesus with all confidence, no one forbidding him." Right? And nowhere in there does it say Paul was being a good influence. But after reading this, I can think to myself, man, look at the influence Paul had. You know, he was living in Rome and received all who would welcome him, preaching the kingdom, teaching the things which concern the Lord. What a good influence he is. 1 Corinthians, flip back there. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 1 says very simply, Paul again, "Imitate me just as I also imitate Christ." Imitate me. Paul's saying, I'm a good example for you to follow. Follow after me. Well, wait, I thought we ought to follow Christ, not any man. Well, what did he say? "Imitate me as I also imitate Christ." You see, Paul was saying, I'm a good example for you because I'm following in the footsteps of Christ. So follow after me. And in following after Paul, we'll be following after Christ. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 6 says, "And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Spirit." The idea here I was trying to get at is that you became followers of us, that Paul was talking about. Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy, those are the men he's referring to. Same idea in Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 17, verses 17 and 18. It says, "Brethren," this the same idea here, "Brethren, join in following my example. And note those who so walk, as you have us for a pattern. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now I tell you, even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ." You see, there are those who are going to oppose Christ, but Paul is saying, join in our example. Join in our example. You know, he is a good influence for each and every person here today. What about the example of Job? I almost said Job. What about the example of Job? And think about all the things that he endured. We're not going to go into that much, but think back about all the things that he lost, all the possessions he had, in the ways he was tempted, and in the trials he went through, because God had said, "He's my servant. He'll come out okay." Now think of the influence and the example he is to each and every one of us, and could be. And if you haven't thought about him, I encourage you to. He's a great example for us to think about. Looking back at our ultimate example of Jesus Christ, does he not have a huge influence on... huge is an understatement, but does he not have an immense impact on each and every one of us and influence us for the better? Right, we're called to be Christians. The name Christ is in the word Christian. just something to think about. Just as I asked you, each of you to think about someone who's influencing you poorly, let's apply this again. Think about someone right now that's influencing you or has influenced you in the past for the better and made you a stronger Christian, a better Christian, a more faithful Christian. Think about someone. Get them in your head. I'm being serious. Whoever that person is, thank them. My advice, thank them. Tell them, hey, you really had a huge influence on me. You still do. Thank you. I needed that. A couple warnings about influence that were talked about. 1 Corinthians 15:33, which we've already read, it's on the screen here. Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. Someone might ask, why is that? How can evil company, how can that affect my good habits? Something that, you know, I'm... How can that affect my good habits and whatnot? Simply the power of influence, like I said. The power, the influence, and the power that good examples have on each and every one of us and poor examples have on each and every one of us, I think we can often not fully understand and not fully think about all the time. It's huge. It's absolutely huge. Proverbs 13:20 says, he who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companions of fools will be destroyed. There again, that's not me saying that. That's the Word of God. He who walks with wise men will be wise. You see, a wise man is a good example for us to follow. They're influencing those around him for better. But the companion of fools, the friends of fools, will be destroyed because he or she is influencing them, who they come into contact with, for worse. It's not hard material to understand. It really isn't. Let's look at one more. Proverbs chapter 22 and verses 25 and 24 and 25. Make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man do not go, lest you learn his ways and set a snare for your soul. You see, the ability to befriend someone that is a furious man, as Proverbs 22 says, lest you learn his ways. You see, all of us are susceptible to the influence of other people, for better or for worse. That's a fact. I don't care who we are. I don't care how old you are. We are all susceptible to influence, for better or for worse. And that's something that we need to be on guard of, and something we need to be thinking about each and every day. Because the thing about influence, we might not know that we're being influenced. That's a very real possibility. We might not know that we're being influenced, but we are. And we all have that ability to influence others, for better or for worse. Just some things to consider. So then, we understand now the power of influence, but how does that apply to each of us? How am I going to influence someone? Well, how about through your conduct? Let's look at Philippians chapter 2 and verse 13. Philippians 2 and verse 13. For it is God who works in you, both to will and to do for His good pleasure. If it is God working in you, you know, and so many people can say, it's, you know, God's working in me, I'm doing great things for His name. That being said, if we are truly following after the New Testament examples that we have before us and God is working in us, we are being a good example to other people. We are influencing people for the better. How else can we influence people? How about our speech? You know, last week, and in last week's bulletin, I wrote an article called Taming the Tongue, just talking about our speech and how important they are. That being said, something I'm pretty sure I said in there was that our tongue is such a small muscle, such a small part of our body, but it is enormous on how others view us and how others look at us, what things we say and how we say them. It's huge. We can influence people with our words, with our actions. It's one of the most important ways we have the ability to influence people. Matthew chapter 15 and verse 18, Ephesians chapter 4 and 29 talks about that. Talks about speech. What about our actions? Our actions are absolutely huge in looking at how others are going to view us and how we are being an example to other people, for better or for worse. They're huge. Our speech, our actions, our conduct. What about our example? Our example here, just being here. Are we being a good example to the rest of those in the world, to the rest of our brethren here? Are we being a good example and in influencing other people by being here? Absolutely we are. Albert Schweitzer, I have no idea who this man is. I like his quote here. He said, "Example is not the main thing in influencing others. It's the only thing. It's the only thing. Our example is huge. The choices we make, huge in influencing others and being a good example to them. It's absolutely huge. Because it's so easy to say one thing, but to do another, our actions, that's really where it hits home. What about in our obedience to Christ? Are you not being a good example to someone there? To someone that knows absolutely nothing about the church or the plan of salvation, when they see or hear of your story they watch you get baptized and they see that drive and the passion that you have, the zealous attitude and nature that you have, do you think that's influencing them for better? Absolutely it is. Absolutely it is. A couple important points about influence here. We can lose one type of influence to gain the other. And I say B to A to B. What I mean by that is we can be a good influence to someone and that can fade to become a negative influence. But similarly, to those who aren't being a good influence right now, if you're not being a good influence or you have been influenced by someone for the lesser, you have that ability to change. You have that ability to change. We can go from one influence, influencing someone in one way, to the other. We have that capability and ability. Another thing to note here is that our influence is not put in the coffin with us. It lives on. I can honestly say I don't remember Mr. Rusty very well. For those who know Mr. Rusty, I don't remember him very well. I remember him leading a few songs and that's really about it. But I can tell you from the things that I've heard from the members here, I want to be like Mr. Rusty. And I don't even know him. But why is that? That's because his influence lives on. His example, even though I don't know the man very well, I want to be like him. I want people to be talking about me like that when I pass from this earth. Because, see, our influence lives on. And that's why it's so important to create a good influence right now, today. Let's look at Revelation 14 to further see this point. Revelation 14, 13. It says, "Then I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and that their works follow them." You see, our works are going to follow us. Our name, our legacy, our example, our influence, that's going to follow us. When we pass from this earth, that example, that name, that legacy of ours, that influence we have on other people, that's going to live on. And that's what should drive you. That's one of the things that should drive you to produce a good name for yourself, to produce a good influence to other people. Not to be seen by men, but to understand, hey, I need to be a good influence to all I come in contact with. Taking that upon yourself. Another thing, that age does not matter. Like I pointed out in the relationship between children and parents, just because you're a child to all of us here, just because you're children, because all of us are here, does not mean you can't influence or have a positive effect, like our definition said, right? Just because you're a child does not mean you cannot have power to influence, the power to influence your parents or someone older than you. And just because you're older than someone does not mean you can't influence them. We are all susceptible to influence, no matter all ages. All ages. And something I've also already touched on, that we are influencing others whether we know it or not. And whether we want to accept it or not. We are influencing others, and we have the ability to be influenced by others. I put this example, the Reuben example here. He was in Seth's grade in high school. He lives just up the road from us. And I don't remember how the story went exactly, but I know it went something like this. He knows our family pretty well just from playing basketball. And he lives up the road, like I said. And he would see my Uncle Shane, he would see his truck drive by, you know, on Sundays to come to church. I think he came to my uncle one day randomly and said something to the effect of, "Hey, I see you drive by my house every Sunday. Like, you know, what are you doing?" My uncle's obviously said, "I'm go to church, go to meet with the saints. You know, I attend worship services on Sunday." And think about how that made Reuben feel. Think about how that influenced him. Wow, look at him. He drives here twice every Sunday to worship with the congregation. Maybe I can do that. Maybe I should think about that. Did it produce anything? That's not for me to say. I don't know. I don't know if it did or didn't. But I do know that that seed was planted. I do know that good influence, that good example was there. Now, had Reuben not said anything to my uncle, would my uncle know he was being a good influence or a good example? No. But Reuben told him. You see, we can have an influence on someone and not even know it. So I encourage you, even if you don't feel like you're being an influence on someone right now, I guarantee you are, and I guarantee you the Lord will be pleased if you keep it up. And it's a positive influence. I guarantee it. Just a couple other important points here. I found this quote, and I kind of wanted to read it. An SMU, St. Mary University basketball coach, once said, "What I always tell my basketball boys is that they represent the school and they represent the sport of basketball. If one of them should go into a bar, for example, and drink in Fort Worth, one might say, 'Well, I know that man. He's an SMU basketball player,' and pretty soon the SMU basketball team is known for being alcoholics. Why is that?" The power of influence, the power of example. It's absolutely huge. To that, I say this point right here. We as Christians here at Mount Baker Church of Christ and all over, wherever, if this isn't your home congregation, we as Christians are representing Christ, Christ Jesus. We're representing the local church, which we are a part of, as well as our spiritual team, our spiritual members in Christ, the universal church. You know, it's the power of influence and example that we have on all of those around us is absolutely huge. And I hope you see that point from now on. Just a couple of things to think about here. Also think about the questions I asked. Those who are influencing you for the lesser, for the negative, to remove them. And those who are influencing you for the better, to tell them thank you and tell them I appreciate it and keep it up. You know, I really do appreciate it. A couple other points. Because there are only two types of influence, positive and negative, and because we all are influencing someone, this question has to be asked. What influence, what example are you being to other people? Because there's only two options. There's a good influence, and there's a not good influence. So which one are you? And think about that. I'm not just saying it to say it. Really think about it right now. What kind of influence are you being on those you come into contact with? There are two options. That's it. Just some things to think about. Are we having a positive impact around us? Because if we're not, we're being the other kind of influence. And we are susceptible to the other kind of influence. You know, and if not, now is the time for correction. That's another thing, another point I'm trying to make is that we all have the ability to influence and to be influenced. But if you can't answer the first question with, yes, I am being a good influence to those I come into contact with, if you can't answer that honestly, then change it. You have that ability. You have that power. So change it. The lesson this evening, the thoughts that I came up with, in no way really mention the plan of salvation. But know that in obedience to Christ, by following these steps and remaining faithful, being a good example, that is going to be a good example. And you are going to have an influence. You'll have an influence on me, I'll tell you that right now. If there's someone here that's not a Christian and understands that they want to be a Christian tonight, I'll tell you right now, you're going to influence me for the better. And I guarantee you'll influence other people here. If you're not a Christian, you've heard the word, do you believe in the gospel of Christ? You know, will you confess Jesus as Christ, as the Son of God? Confess your faith. Repent of your past sins. Repent of not being a good example, a good follower of Christ. We're not imitating Christ the way we ought to. Repent of that. Move forward. If you are a Christian and you're not being a good example or influencing others the way that we ought to, if you're not being the salt of this earth, the light of the world, change. See, it's not that hard. It's just pretty simple, actually. Just change. Be a good influence. So I hope this lesson's been beneficial in any way. If you're subject to the invitation, please let it be known as we sing the song. So.
Oh.